Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, February 3rd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, a whole half hour of headlines and commentary in less than 10 minutes. I'm Chris Andre. More states, Oregon among them, are pushing legislation preventing the illegal deployment of National Guard soldiers.
Power companies want customers to pay for dismantling dams on the Klamath River.
And Cascadians take a big look at the effects of growth on the state of Oregon.
Portland area weather mostly sunny with highs 55 to 60 and east winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chemtrail all over the sky if you want to know. And tonight mostly clear with lows in the low 30s.
And now, regional news from around Cascadia. In Salem today at 3 p.m., the House Land Use Committee is holding a public meeting on the Big Look Task Force proposed legislation, House Bill 2229. The task force has made several proposed changes to Oregon's land use planning programs. Joining us this morning, we have Eric Stashen from the Communications Director with 1,000 Friends of Oregon joins us to talk about this. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Chris, good morning, and thanks for having me.
So some of this legislation is pretty much okay. Some of it, unfortunately, the task force has focused much of their efforts on this proposal to allow counties to develop new criteria to redefine farm and forest lands. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Just quickly, a little bit of background. The Big Look Task Force was created by the 2005 legislature. 10 Oregonians charged with basically reviewing the effectiveness of the land use planning program to date and to make recommendations to the 2009 legislature on how the land use planning program can help Oregon meet future needs. Given that we expect the population of the state to increase somewhere around 2 million more Oregonians in the next 30-plus years, given the challenges of global warming and all the impacts of global warming pollution on Oregon, it's certainly time to review the land use planning program and basically assess its effectiveness and see how we can strengthen the program to better meet future challenges. And the Big Look Task Force got a couple of things right. They basically found, as we believe, that the program has done a really wonderful job over the last 30-plus years at protecting farm and forest land and minimizing urban sprawl, in fact, probably better than any other state in the country. They also found a need for greater citizen participation, citizen involvement in land use planning decisions and ways that we can enhance that. But where the task force really kind of went off track and let some of the personal biases of some of the task force members creep into their recommendations is what you mentioned. The proposal, and it's the most controversial and far-reaching proposal in the task force recommendations, and that's to allow two or more counties to basically develop criteria to redefine what is agricultural land. And the bottom line, without getting down into the weeds of this, is that it will basically allow more development on agricultural land. It will increase sprawl. It will reduce protections for farmland. It will increase global warming. And it's a bad idea. And your listeners hopefully will contact their legislators and let them know that they should reject this proposal.
And there's the meeting today at 3, which I imagine some listeners will be attending, but there's another meeting in the evening next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday, they're actually, the Land Use Committee holds their regular hearings Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock, and next Tuesday's hearing will also start at 3 and go till 5, and then they'll take an hour break, and then they'll have an evening hearing from 6 to 8. So they're providing an opportunity for folks who can't get away during the daytime for a variety of reasons to be able to come down to Salem and provide testimony in the evening. It's one shot. It's the second and one evening shot for folks to actually show up in person and testify in support of strong land use planning.
Thank you so much That was my guest has been Eric Sturgeon, the communications director with 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Thank you so much for being with us, Eric.
Four endangered California condors, three of them hatched at the Oregon Zoo, will be freed early next month from their clifftop pen near the Grand Canyon. If the release goes as planned on March 7th, the enormous bald-headed birds will join a northern Arizona flock of 67 free-flying condors, including three Oregon-bred birds released last March at Vermilion Cliffs National Monument.
That's if air use laws don't get in the way. In Olympia, Washington, state lawmakers are being asked to solve the contentious issue of water and who should have access to it. Farmers and environmentalists packed a hearing room in Olympia recently to give testimony on a series of bills that would modify state law on access to groundwater. An issue is an exemption that dairies and feedlots have used for decades, allowing unlimited use of water without a state permit. Don't forget that dairies, when this this law was first brought in, were not huge, gigantic agribusiness sprawling farms. This exemption goes back as far as statehood, but environmentalists and the State Development Department of Ecology are pushing to get it stricken from the books, and it's about time.
At Hanford, workers have begun installing massive shield doors at the Hanford Vitrification Plant's pretreatment facility. Four of 12 steel doors have been installed, with the last two weighing 22 tons each. They're 10 feet high, 11 feet wide, and 8 inches thick to shield workers from radiation, which begs the question, what was protecting them before they got the doors?
To save money, the First Unitarian Church in downtown Portland has decided to close for the month of July. The 142-year-old church faces a projected $185,000 deficit for the fiscal year. Churches across the country are closing or merging right now because of the economy, and this, though, is rare. This is a furlough, and theoretically, First Unitarian will be closed for the month of July, and we'll just see what happens after that. I guess the economy will determine it, not God.
Yeah, they can pray. Portland's ambitious plan to end homelessness just got a big helping hand, with plans for nearly 200 housing units. The city in Multnomah County, along with the Portland Development Commission and the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, announced last week they're spending $5.4 million on six projects that will provide affordable housing to low-income residents in northeast, southeast, and southwest Portland, as well as Gresham.
And Oregon leaders are attempting to rewrite rules and rescind an order by former President Bush that impacted streetcar funding. The Portland streetcars are not favored by federal transportation officials, but Earl Blumenauer may submit a special bill that would fund them. Oregon's elected leaders are pushing the federal government to drop the Bush administration edict that crimped funding for area streetcars.
Oregon's National Guard is in the process of mobilizing for its largest deployment of citizen soldiers since World War II. From the start, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have relied on civilian soldiers. Tens of thousands of U.S. Guard and Reserve members rotating in and out. They're cheaper than contractors.
And now we go to Klamath Falls. A plan to pass much of the tab for removing Klamath River dams to Oregon power users is getting its first hearing in Salem today. The bill is considered a critical step in a larger agreement amongst farmers, fishermen, tribes and others to improve salmon runs and to provide stability for agriculture. Joining us this morning is Erica Terrence of Klamath River Keeper. Good morning, Erica. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is more complicated than it would first appear. Can you talk a little bit about what are some of the implications?
Sure. Well, the first thing to understand is that the legislation introduced today in Oregon is really important to our goals of getting the Klamath dams removed and restoring the river and the fisheries that commercial fishermen and tribes along the river depend on. The bill introduced would raise rates for Oregon ratepayers, power customers of PacifiCorp, who owns the dams. But what's really crucial to understand here is that it does it in the best way possible, the way that's most protective of ratepayers. It might seem a little counterintuitive at first. I mean, power bills are going to go up for PacifiCorp's power customers, but it's important to understand they'll go up either way. if the dams stay in place, PacifiCorps is required by federal agencies to put in fish ladders that are very expensive. They would cost at least as much as taking the dams out. When you add on top of that the costs of mitigating the water quality, which is very poor from the reservoirs, which heat up the water and cause toxic algae behind those dams, when you add on the costs of mitigating those water quality problems on top of fish ladders, rate hikes will be much, much higher if the dams are left in. So we view this legislation as something that's necessary. Whether the parties to the agreement in principle can reach a final agreement or not, this money is going to need to be secured. It's going to need to go through the Public Utilities Commission. And this legislation actually does maintain the Public Utilities Commission's right to have a hearing, and public input will be accepted. So even though it's going through the legislature, it still retains the Utility Commission's role in the process.
Thank you so much. That was Erica Terrence of Klamath River Keeper. And as this proceeds through the legislature, we will be talking with Erica and keeping everyone posted. Thank you so much.
Sure. Can I add one other quick thing?
Yes.
Okay. The thing we want the public to understand here is that the legislation is absolutely tied at this point to the negotiations going on to reach a final agreement to remove the dams. There are some things we'd like to see change about that final agreement, and we want to remind folks that it's not a final agreement yet. It's non-binding. It's not a done deal. But this work is being done in preparation and in hopes that a final deal that works for all parties can be reached.
Thank you so much. That was, once again, of course, that was Erica Terrence of Klamath Riverkeeper.
Criminal charges will not be filed against 9 Washington state troopers who were investigated for using phony college degrees to get higher pay. The chief deputy prosecutor for Thurston County says a review found insufficient evidence to show the troopers knew the diplomas were from institutions that lacked accreditation.
And now we go to D.C. Dirt with KBOO's Spencer Raymond. President Barack Obama is making some surprising appointments, but this could really work out. A lot of people say that it's better to have your enemies inside the tent, relieving themselves out the door, rather than outside the tent and doing the converse. It's a kindergarten teacher's old trick. If you want to control the troublemakers, deputize them and put them in charge of troublemaking. Spencer, good morning. Thanks for joining us. We've had some very interesting twists and turns in President Barack Obama's road to creating a cabinet and making appointments that somehow please everyone. Can you talk a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, Chris. Well, Tom Daschle, he's out today, the White House, releasing that statement this morning. And we talked about Tom Daschle yesterday, and everyone was under the impression that although he did have the problems with the taxes, $120,000 of owed taxes that he didn't pay initially, he did eventually pay them off, that the Senate Finance Committee was going to be okay with that and recommend him to the floor of the Senate to be confirmed as the Chief of Health and Human Services. That's not the case anymore, as Daschle himself withdrew the nomination. There were reports of him coming out of the Senate Finance Committee chambers yesterday looking sullen and a little bit disappointed. No one really knows what happened inside that closed-door hearing, but they probably told him, look, we can't confirm you with this history of confusion over how much taxes he should be paying. So remember, Daschle is the one pulling himself out. He didn't get rejected. It's him stepping down, probably for the betterment of him and the Department of Health and Human Services as a whole.
And we have other appointments that are of interest. Judd Gregg, of course, the Republican. Alas, Spencer, we are out of time today. I just want to let listeners know that Spencer will be back tomorrow, and we are going to continue talking about this because there are some very interesting, curious issues that all of these appointments are raising. Thank you so much, Spencer. I'm sorry that we're out of time. But we will take up this tomorrow.